Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamut. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's Thursday, so that means I get to hang out with wonderfully awesome people. And because of who the people are, it's going to be an absolute crapshoot as to what stories we're going to be talking about today. And I cannot wait to see what we end up talking about. But regardless of what the topics are, I know I'm going to have a wonderful time, and hopefully everyone else will too. It's just always a treat and a privilege to hang out with you. So who am I hanging out with today? Well, Tom, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. I have both pants and a shirt on today. I'm clean shaven, so I'm ready to go.
Wow. I
Life
need to
goals.
step up my game.
Life goals right
You
there.
Do. That's right. Life goals. I'm retired, so I consider my day complete now.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you're up. You got cleaned up. You put on clothes. That's it. You've accomplished everything for the day that's required of you.
Yeah.
Probably had some food.
Well done. I feel like not only do I need to step up my wardrobe game, but I need to work on my life.
I'm feeling a little tired after all this activity, but I'll take a nap later.
That's fair. I mean, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yep. Yet someone else that makes it very clear I need to step up my wardrobe game. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well, actually. I'm doing really well. It's been a stressful, busy week. But I put my Halloween decorations up and the weekend, I got a good weekend. I'm investigating stuff. We'll talk about that later. I'm thinking about replacing my Mac Mini with like a Linux mini PC server thing. So I did that, and no, it's been good. And we had two presentations for insurance companies this week. So that's why I'm like more dressy today.
Oh boy, insurance. That must have been a fun discussion.
It actually was fine because it's like mostly today at least there was very technical questions, so it's fine. Actually, third-party companies. It's not in this case. It wasn't even insurance company directly. Yes, no, yesterday
they
it
weren't.
Was. Yesterday it was, but they like it was fine.
So it wasn't about you buying insurance.
No. It's about okay. us providing services for them. So.
Right.
It was okay. I said it is what it is. Not gonna lie, it wasn't the most fun thing, but it was okay. I mean, didn't have to join yesterday. I was just on call if someone needed. They were like some people were on location in Hamburg, and I didn't have to go, so I was very happy about that. But in return, I have to go to Berlin week after next, so I guess somehow evens out. But no, it was fine.
So is Berlin a fun city?
Yeah, kind of. Not as much as Hamburg. Would have preferred Hamburg
over
Berlin, but it's fine. I don't care. Like, whatever. Send me somewhere. I'll do it.
That's fair.
I'm not super excited that I have to go because I've been a bunch of times. I haven't been in Hamburg in a while, so that would have been. But I'm like, I'm over traveling right now. I'm like, it's every month, so.
Are you having to do any of the back-to-back trips?
Not this time. Like, I mean, who knows? There might be later in the week another trip, but then I hope my boss is back because he actually lives in Berlin. But that day he's out because he has another trip at the same time. So I was like, okay, fine, yeah. I'll go. I'll come to you while you leave somewhere else.
Well, hopefully you don't have to do any back-to-backs, or at least not very often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, should be fine.
Yeah, that there were a couple times where I'd be sitting on a plane and it would land. Mm-hmm. And because it had been like three events back-to-back, and I literally just flew to each one from the previous event.
Yeah.
At one point, I landed in a city, and I got off the plane, and I'm like,
where am I?
I literally have no idea where I am.
Yeah, been there.
At
I mean,
all.
Yeah, usually I've never had where I flew to one place and then from there to the other. I usually flew home in between, but I mean, even this year there's been a couple of times where I had like whatever a trip to Germany and 1 week and then basically came back on Friday or something and then Monday after going to Portugal again. So I've had that. I know that feeling. It's like at some point you're like over airports and you're a zombie in the airport. You're like don't even pay attention to anything because you know exactly, okay, I have to go there and do this and whatever. And you're like, you're a robot.
And then pretty soon you can pick out the other people that are doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I have just easy. I can do that.
You get that look? Yeah.
Yeah. And also you can pick out the Germans because they're so like not relaxed. They're like, oh, you're standing in front of the gate for like half an hour and waiting so that they can start boarding and like have their passport in their hand and their printed out ticket and yeah, it's like all of that and they're like, let's do this and ah, oh, like complaining the half of the time, why is the plane late and whatever and like the people who do this more often and especially the people who are not Germans, they're like sitting there, relax or whatever. Yeah, it's like we're gonna get there, like just chill. It's like they haven't even like the people from the previous flight haven't even left, so like whatever, like just
Yeah,
take
we
your
have the
time.
same thing here. But the queue culture is always strong and powerful here in the UK. So they'll always want to and then complain and things. But there's nothing you can do. You
Exactly.
can't
It's like
magic the plane down. You're not going to get nothing you can do. Sit down, chill out. And I still don't get the printed out ticket thing.
I mean, I have
I
it.
have a mobile phone that will hold my tickets for me. I do not need to print out bits of paper I will then lose or will
No.
get crumpled up in the bottom of my bag and it will take me 5 minutes to find it.
Exactly. I mean, a couple of times I have simply at the check-in counter they gave it to me, and I'm like, yeah, okay, thank you. I didn't really need it, and I just drop it in my bag and never take it out. I think once or twice I actually needed it. I had in Lisbon a couple of times the problem that the digital ticket, for some reason, Lufthansa had some error in their system, and didn't include the fast lane. And then I had to go back to
Oh,
the
I have
counter
to
and
do
have them
that.
print it. And so usually if I'm there, I'm like, just print it just in case. So I don't have to come back.
International travel, I've decided now for every fast lane opportunity available, I will
Yeah,
take it.
100%.
If I can queue in security queues without morons, I'm very happy.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I
Or
have.
less morons.
Yeah, I have the advantage that most of the time, I mean, either I'm flying business class or I have status, so I get to go through the business class line and then that helps. I'm with
Yeah,
you.
because then I because otherwise I'm killing
Yes.
people that are wanting to empty their tray full of stuff that's just come out of the thing on the conveyor as mine's coming down, just at the bit where it leaves the end of the thing. But no, move along, come on, get down there. And then I have also the other thing of inevitably I watch the suitcases coming down, and mine ends up going off to be checked
Rarely
because it's
ever
got
happens to
wires in
me.
it, and that must be dangerous.
Rarely ever.
So, Ian,
So
and
dangerous.
what you call moronic behavior by travelers, when I was traveling a lot for work, I called those tourists. As a business
Much,
traveler, I
yes.
developed an extreme dislike for tourists, which is a very bad negative feeling. I've gotten over it
Yes.
now.
But it's not
No,
always,
I
that's the
summertime.
thing. It's not
It's
always
summertime. You're
tourists.
good.
I also know business
Even when I'm a
travelers who are
tourist,
really
I
bad.
hate it. It's the tourists that have a piece of carry-on luggage. They have six kids, and they have 12 paper bags full of gifts they bought in the airport, and they're boarding ahead of you because they're family boarding. Like I said, it's a bad negative
I've seen
feeling.
this
I've
one.
gotten over it now, but
Yeah.
that's why I
And
hated
I'm
flying in the
always
summer.
baffled by the ones where everyone's got a suitcase crammed to the rafters with everything, including whatever they're getting on with. What have you brought with you? You're going for a week to somewhere sunny. You're probably
You
not going to
see,
wear that much clothes. What the hell have you got with you?
you're a man. You're a man. Like, trust me, I bring probably too much stuff, but you never know. And I've needed it.
It's one advantage of being a male. It's so much easier to pack, especially for business, even more so than
Oh,
vacations.
my boss travels for a Monday to Friday trip to Lisbon. All he has is like a little carry-on and I think a backpack.
Right.
Like
It's
little, even a little
possible.
carrier, not even like a bigger carrier, like a little carrier and a backpack. And I'm
Right.
like, and I'm bringing like a big backpack and a big suitcase, well, middle-sized suitcase. But the difference is, yeah, I have like whatever, 7 different outfits in there, and it's like 3 different pairs of shoes and like makeup girls, and like all of that. It's like, it's different.
And that you've now made me think of a good thing for a cool thing. my weekend to travel pack, because that's excellent. So that can be that can be my my cool
but
thing for the day.
As I said, I also dislike those people that take like way too much. I mean, the overhead compartments, overhead bins in planes are not massive, even on like more modern or like longer range planes where they're a little bit bigger. No. They're not massive. And people bring like 17 different things. And my boss is like, oh, why? Like, even for a like 1 or 2 day trip, I frequently just check in everything. Because I'm like, I don't want to, like, one, I have like makeup and whatever in it. So liquid would anyway be a problem. And two,
so if you got the liquids.
Yeah. And then two,
generally
I'm
have
like,
to deal with that overhead bin.
Exactly. No, it's full because. One. Because, I mean, even if you're in business class and you're, whatever, this third, fourth person in, good chance that the person before you, senator status or whatever, had like 4 different things and already basically took up all the space. So I'm like, no.
So I have my one bag that has a packing cube in with all the things I need, and it has solid deodorant, so I don't have liquids to worry about. Mm-hmm. When I get there, a hotel room will have shampoo, shower gel, and other things. I'm not taking any with me. I just don't need it. I'm not going to heal. It's going to be fine.
Yeah,
I'm
for
not
you,
gonna
maybe.
Have to try
for
and
you,
I'm
maybe.
Not going to have
no.
to wash me out. You know, it's just fine. I don't need to worry about any of these things. No. Toothbrush and toothpaste. I don't need anything else. I'm completely fine. You know, it's so all those things don't go in my bag, and then I've got a couple of jumpers and trousers, and jobs are good.
Yeah.
You see, the easy life.
Yeah,
the easy life of a male traveler.
I think so too. Yeah, I mean, literally, my other coworker, he like frequently, he's like in Portugal, and he's like a little backpack like this size, and like how did even anything fit in there? Let alone, I mean, yeah, he has his laptop bag as additional, but there's nothing.
I mean, he could be going
just
for the camping underpants approach. You know, one day the right way around, the other day inside out.
I hope not.
Yeah, that sort of
but
thing.
He, to be fair, to be fair, he once he like one of the last times we were there together, he said, "Yeah, I think he said, I think I'm going to bring a little bit more. It's just it's not enough anymore."
I'd rather just have overhead. My bag in the overhead. I walk straight off the plane, straight out. I don't have to wait for the conveyor.
I don't mind.
I can just leave the airport.
I don't mind the waiting. I don't care. I just. More convenient.
I want to go to Murica. I'm going to have to do that. Yeah. But I don't really want to.
And especially on like shorter range flights, it's not a problem because most people have only their carry-on, so there's not a lot of carry-on.
Absolutely, short haul. I will avoid like the plague.
Exactly. So the few people who actually have suitcases, it's quite quick because it's not a lot. So no, I don't care.
Travel tips from BTN.
Yes. Show title.
We're all seasoned, pained travelers.
Yeah. No, for sure. But as I said, at some point...
BTN travel.
Oh, the British
travel
network. Yeah. Yeah, so it's like... No, but at some point you're just... I mean, as I said, especially when you're flying the same routes over and over, you're like, okay, I've seen everything. You know where everything is. You know how everything works. You're literally like, here's my stuff. Go there, go into a lounge, sit down here, get there, walk over there. Oh, it's whatever, S22. Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. 3 minutes, I'm there, whatever. You just know it. Don't even have to think.
Yeah, I'm like that with OTP in Bucharest now. I know when to get there. I know how long it takes me to get through security.
Yeah.
And then I know where I'm going to eat. And then I know roughly which gate they're going to use for the flight I take.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all really easy. And so, you just pop to throw, don't you, kind of thing. It's not so much rush in there. I'm still a dad traveler, though. I still have to be at the airport 3 hours before the flight.
Yeah, I usually also do two.
I will get the jitters if I'm later. I like to give plenty of time. I can happily sit somewhere comfortable on the other side with my book and read it and wait, or listen to an audiobook and wait for my flight.
Yeah, I'll usually do some work.
I am
dad
traveler extraordinaire. I'm always there early.
Me too. I've had too many issues with like transportation to the airport or whatever. Where whatever, no trains are leaving Koblenz, and like for like an hour, hour and a half, there's literally no train leaving, and you kind of have to find out like, okay, how do I get there in time for my flight and stuff like that. I've had too many issues like that, or like a train is late or whatever. There's all of a sudden there's a whole whatever, there's a big plane of people at the security checkpoint, and they're all the slow kind or whatever. Stuff like that, mm-hmm. where it's like all of a sudden, whatever, there's a school holiday, and all of a sudden there's like a million people in the airport. I've had all of that, and I'm like, I'll go 2 hours, 2.5 hours before. Sometimes it might be an hour 45 before to the airport, sit in the lounge, take my laptop, keep working. Don't care. It's like it's another office.
I'd rather be sitting in the airport comfortably than standing in line and worried about missing my flight.
Exactly. And I know someone else who's like, no, like 15 minutes before the flight leaves, that's when I leave at home, basically. No,
I have a friend like that who waltzes through with an hour to spare, and he's always on time.
Yeah.
He's always fine. It works for him. I don't know how he does it, so I just continue to do the thing I do because it works.
Yeah, exactly.
Do what works for you.
Yes, doing what works for you.
We should probably do some articles.
Should we?
Yeah.
I mean, this is gold. This is travel tips. Like, if you're traveling and you're not traveling a lot, do this. Just relax.
We could do a whole show just on our travel tips.
We should do that somewhere.
Travel tips
somewhere
and travel gear. Travel gear, yeah, completely.
Can someone
But in the meantime, we'll start with Ian's article.
I've got a story, and I it came from this article. I posted both. I find this this one's cool. I when I looked at the news, it was all AI and lawsuits, and I can't be asked. They're doing another one of those this week, so I've gone for this. Is an interesting company called RBW. What they're doing is something quite cool. They're taking they're building a brand new MG. It looks like an MG. It looks like an MG GT or an MG Roadster, but it isn't, because what it is an electric car.
And, it's not a conversion. It's a new car they built. Just looks
it's
like
a brand new car. All those body panels are made by British Heritage, something or other group here in the UK.
Nice.
For repairing the old classic cars. Mm-hmm. So these guys are buying the body shells and then assembling their electric car inside.
That's smart.
Which is fantastic, which I like the idea of. And you get this lovely, cool little car. It's not a car, it's not going to be your daily car, so it doesn't matter. It does 160 miles on a single charge. This doesn't matter. It's probably got quite slow charging. It doesn't matter. This is a fun car to take out for the afternoon to drive to the coast. Drive home, charge it up while you're there and drive home again. But it's wonderful. It's based on I just really like the fact it's based on the MG. It has all of that cool, and on the upside, if you buy an old MG, you're left with pain, suffering, and unreliability because the cars weren't very well designed.
Yeah.
And that era, you sidestep all those problems, you get a lovely car.
Mm. Yeah, at least with an electric MG, you won't have oil leaking all over your
drive.
No oil on your drive.
No, this is really smart for kind of two reasons. I mean, one, I think there is a built-in market of the people who already love these cars, but they want something they can drive around and like it doesn't lose value or gets broken or whatever. Like they want to preserve the thing they have, but kind of drive it. So they're kind of, okay, you can just drive this. It looks exactly the same, but it is a modern car. It's reliable. It's there.
Modern,
like you can use
modern
it.
Car.
And I think the other benefit is that because it supports the panel manufacturing, because there's now more demand for it, it's probably more reliable that you like get the panels when you need them for your old car, because someone is already like they're being produced and they're not at the verge of being shut down because there's no market for it, basically.
The exciting thing that is in the back of my head now, if these guys are doing this, the classic original Alec Hexagonis Mini, the original small Mini, not these modern ones that are bigger, is being remade, and the panels are being remade in the same way, because again, there's a huge classic car market for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, an electric small Mini. Oh, that would be wonderful. And it would go like the clappers. It would be really, really fun to drive. But this one's
go
wonderful.
Like the clappers.
Yes, like the
Translate
clappers.
Translate that for me.
That's Yorkshire. It's a Yorkshire expression. It goes like the it goes like the clappers, lad. Which is, it's a Yorkshire expression. It means it goes very fast.
Okay.
I think the expression, it goes like the clappers of hell. So okay. you're being chased by the devil. Yeah. So you're going to go quite fast and don't get
caught. One big question. What did... What's the character's name from... I'm also blinking on the show name.
You're not narrowing it down.
No, I'm definitely not narrowing down. The Doctor Who guy and the other guy. The two guys. One is a devil, one is an angel.
Oh, Good Omens.
Yeah. What car is he driving?
Oh, the Doctor Who guy. like
his Bentley.
Oh, it was a Bentley. Okay.
Like Asriel's Bentley or whatever it is. In Good Omens. Yeah, I've read the book recently. But I'm seeing the TV, so I don't want to use it in that. But yes, it could well be. I mean, this thing's wonderful. Back to the MG thing. Mm-hmm. They've even gone for the little circular binnacles, but they're all digital displays.
Yeah.
Showing you things like your charge and your power and everything else and your speed. And so it's a lot of money, but it's
this is not a mass market job. Thing.
I'm very, very impressed.
This is not a mass market thing, for sure not.
This isn't a mass market thing. This isn't, as I said, this isn't your daily car.
Yeah. For some people, maybe it. Even, but.
It's your daily car. It's another one to sit alongside. It's going to be a fun thing to own.
Mm.
But I think they start around $140,000.
Wow.
Okay.
It's not a cheap thing. Nope. If you look at it, the reason I found out about it is because The Verge had an article about it, and then we showed up Monterey Car Week.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone looked at these things and go, ooh. So, I mean, there's another company here in the UK that have been working on the idea of taking electric drivetrains, mostly out of old Teslas, and shoving them into classic cars. There's a lot of E-type Jags and Range Rovers.
There's a whole
been recycled in the same way.
There's a whole market out there, like converting like classic car, any kind of older retro car.
Mm.
Like I've seen Bugs, I've seen 2CVs of like the French Deux-Chevaux.
Yeah,
I've seen tons of.
Well, would be another cool car to have like
I mean that is a whole thing. I think even Horace Daddy, I think did either himself one or he had someone do it. Like it's like that is a whole thing. But this is different because it's a new car. I mean, it looks like an old car, but it's a new car.
If they made a Citroën DS, those beautiful swoopy lines from the 50s with all the chrome and everything else made it electric, I'd be in the queue.
I mean, who knows? That might be a market.
Wonderful. I'm an old car guy, and that sort of thing's wonderful.
Yeah, I think you're in the target.
I'm hoping these guys are going to be at the car show. I'm going to a car show in Birmingham.
Mm.
In next couple 3 weeks' time, I'm hoping these guys are going to be there and have a look. But that's so. I just thought this is a much funner story than lawsuits and AIs.
I agree, a lot more fun.
Lawsuits and AIs, funner-er. Yeah. MGs are much more fun than that. My right, brother had an MG. I think it was a GT, the longer one.
Yeah, yeah, they do a GT as well.
Back,
if you look at
back in the 70s, and that was a nice car, but he was working on it every weekend. It was a nightmare.
Yep, that would be right.
It was fun to drive.
Yeah, yeah, you can get the GT version of this as well. Hardtop, everything there.
Mm.
It is wonderful. There's a 14-week lead time on build. It's a 14-week build and it's 11-month lead time, so he's clearly getting orders. So that's fantastic. 8 hours to charge it up. So yeah.
Speaking of vintage, Tom, wow. Wait, tell us about
you just
your
call
story.
Me vintage?
By the way, vintage is not you, Tom. It relates to your story. I just want to be clear.
I mean, I'm sorry. If this is vintage, then I am. Because I'm about this old.
I resemble
I think
that
we're all vintage then.
Patrice, I'd rather be called vintage than old. So that's cool.
Oh, yeah, I do remember Excel looking like that.
Yep.
The first screenshot in there, I remember that.
So my story is about, it's from the Register. It's about Excel celebrating its 40th birthday.
Christ.
And that kind of surprised me a little bit. I thought it was more of an early 90s thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's when it really became popular and overtook 1-2-3. Lotus 1-2-3.
I mean, also, and I think late 80s, early 90s was also when it started to appear on Windows. because
right.
originally,
well, that was the one thing.
By the way,
we're
talking
me.
About Excel. If people haven't gotten that,
right? It's about the 40th anniversary of the birth of Excel. Yeah. And the first thing I didn't know, A, it was 40 years ago, and B, yeah. that the first version was for.
It was for Mac.
Yeah.
For
no,
Mac.
I knew that because Microsoft originally was actually a Mac company. Now they developed stuff for I think even Apple and then definitely Mac when Macintosh mm-hmm. when it came out. That I knew.
Yeah, I mean back in those days they certainly were trying to port everything to both the PC and the Mac eventually. Mm-hmm. And, you know yeah. they Microsoft had pretty good support on the Macs early on.
Mm-hmm. I said they started on
yeah,
the
Mac. Yeah, it's really funny to see yeah. some of the early versions, early mm-hmm. screenshots of Excel and how rudimentary
yeah,
it was.
And how what it's not that different if you really think about it.
No, the basic concept yeah. is the same.
Core is still there.
Yeah, you know, the basic, what do you call that, the... You know, the use model and
the WYSIWYG, the WYSIWYG.
Well, and it's just, you know, in my job, I used Excel all the time. You know, I had to do a lot of forecasting and, you know, look at revenue and a bunch of other things. And we just use Excel all the time. It was almost a communication vehicle among many yeah. teams, you know.
Yeah.
And it yeah. got pretty sophisticated. I mean, I think... It's pretty bloated now in some ways with a lot of features, but I still use it for simple tasks. You know, it's a poor man's database.
Name a serious competitor of Excel these days. Serious.
Yeah.
Even I could name one.
Numbers is.
I could name one. Name numbers isn't. It's not a serious competitor.
No, numbers is not.
It's available.
Sheets.
That's the only one I could come up with. Nothing else. I mean, there is others for sure. There's numbers. There's like LibreOffice. There's like a ton of others. But they're
fine. Numbers they're fine. And LibreOffice. I've used them. They're fine, but
they're just not as good. They're definitely not as good.
I had a relative that worked in engineering at Apple for a while, and he told me that the one case where it was okay to use a non-Apple product was to in engineering to use Excel over numbers. They just couldn't use numbers for their work, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
they didn't talk about it, but if you ask your boss, he goes, "No."
Yeah, just I mean, it doesn't mean that numbers isn't fine for probably a bunch of people, but same for Libre,
stuff.
This Libre suite and whatever. There is alternatives, and there is places that are using it. It's not that there is none, but. They're really outliers if you really think about it.
Well, it's just it's the typical example of the install base incumbency.
Mm-hmm.
You need a lot of energy to displace that incumbency,
and
there's
it
never
is...
been a big disaster with Excel or any big major disruption to cause people to move.
No,
why
that,
would you move?
That
you
and know? It is unfortunate. I mean, it is fortunately or unfortunately, really really good. Yes, it is. It is. More bloated these days maybe than it needs to be, but it's also not so overloaded. And I mean, that's I think the whole reason why Excel even won kind of or started to become popular over Lotus 1-2-3 was it was easier. And I think at the core today, that's why I said it doesn't look that different. Like, I mean, sure, like UI Chrome and there's no massive bar with like a million options or whatever, like, but at the core the early version still looks the same as today. And you could probably use it exactly the same and it would do exactly the same because the basic thing, the easiest thing is like have a bunch of cells, put some text and some numbers in, add them up, some formula, whatever. That still works and it works reliably well.
Get the sum, the average, the median, you know, create a histogram plot. It's just the simplest thing in the world.
Exactly. And as you said, I mean, you can create games in it and you can use it as a database and you can do the craziest stuff with it. You can do competitions, Excel competitions if you want and whatever. But at the core, the simple thing still works.
Yeah, it still does what it says. I mean, one thing I find interesting, my wife works for an accountancy firm. It's training accountants, technically speaking, but they're completely Google. So they use Google Sheets all day long.
Yeah.
It's what the one of the few times I don't see Excel being used in the wild when I look across at her. She's doing things in Google Sheets, and to be fair, it's as good
for simple things. It's really good. I use it
for simple things that most people need to do.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. And on the complicated side, Excel does some brilliant stuff. We have Power BI automation hooked up to a couple of our sheets we use that sends me that will send us that sends us emails for reminder about expiry of licenses and an expiry of lab kits and stuff we've set up, so we can basically automate a lot of the boring things that we don't need to keep checking. Yeah, you know, that's fantastic. From again, not too complicated a thing to do.
I can give you one area where Google is better than to this day, better than Microsoft in Excel versus Google Sheets, and that is when it comes to automation and APIs. Because we like the one area where I use Google Sheets at work, despite the fact there were it's a gray area whether we're allowed to or not. Nobody says anything, so we're just doing it. Is that I can very easily like we extract a bunch of data from like Jira and whatever, and then I need like a special way of processing that and showing calculated data and showing lists and whatever. And all I have to do is basically there's an API where I tell in this sheet, please replace these columns with this data. Done. Super easy, super reliable, not a problem. Doesn't work that well in Excel because Excel is still file based.
Does sheets do it dynamically? Yeah. Or do you have to push a button?
No, dynamically. I can, I have a script. Basically, I have a script that runs like on every 15 minutes, and it does some math and prepares data and collects it from all kinds of places. And then it literally, you have a table, basically a virtual table, and you just say, put this data in this sheet at this position. And that's it. And it does it, said 100%, never had a problem, reliable. And with Excel, that simply, because that's online, live, like people could be watching this same sheet, like live.
Right.
And it updates every 15 minutes.
You can't do that in Excel.
It's because it's all still file-based. It's simply not as reliable and it's not as easy. So that's the only reason I haven't done it.
I think the challenge with Google for most corporations is, as you say, you're not sure you're allowed to use it. I know.
Well, unless
My last company, the internal network would not allow you to access anything from Google.
Yeah.
Nothing, right? Yeah, because it was a huge security hole.
We don't have that problem. And there's entire companies who run on big companies sometimes that run, including Google itself, but that run on Google Workspace. So it's fine. It's actually the only competitor.
Huge accountancy business. Worldwide business. They run entirely on Google. On Google Workspace, they use it's all Gmail and Google services. Yeah. I think the University of York, my local large, they're all Google services as well. I think they ditched Microsoft and all of that years ago from guys I chatted to.
And I think that's the big threat to Microsoft, because they kind of missed the online world, online business world, basically, that Google was able to catch. I mean, one Google suit was free for a long time. Now you can pay for it, and I think that's better. But it was free for a long time. And two, I mean, Google was literally the only game in town that you could do live collaborative work on documents. Microsoft couldn't do
it.
Cross-platform as well. It's true, cross-platform as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Microsoft couldn't do it. I mean, literally, we were still in a world where you would create a PowerPoint version 1, attach it to an email, send it to the people who have to edit it. Then you would get a version 2 from 5 people, and then you would combine it by hand back together. That was literally the world. And you do that with 100 megabyte files.
But you can do that with Microsoft.
Nowadays,
you can do live editing and collaborating.
Now you can. But for a long time,
My experience is different. So I know several companies five, six years ago, that for financial reasons switched from Office products to Google.
Yeah.
And then they went, and then it came back.
Yeah.
Because of security links and the lack of productivity of users, because their entire install base was proficient with Office.
Yeah.
And you know, they were just stumbling. It just wasn't worth it. They probably should have figured out a better way to roll it out instead of just dumping it on it.
Well, that also, yeah. But no, it's, I mean, I'm not saying Microsoft is bad. As I said, they have to some extent caught up. I mean, I'm using it all day, like every day, and we can, it's these days, it's still not 100%, and there is sometimes weird sync issues where, because it's still file-based, one person will edit something, and then all of a sudden, there's a conflict, and then nobody can save anything. Everybody has to close their, we had that literally yesterday, everybody has to close their file.
Conflict then, resolution then it, when you're sharing documents is a really tricky
Never
algorithm.
Had that problem with Google, because you're literally, it's an API, and you're literally working on a live document. It's it's real time, and that's the difference. So as I said, Microsoft has been, I mean, to be fair, it for them probably was a really difficult problem, because Google came simply from a, they had nothing. So they could literally just do it. Microsoft came from a file-based system, and they had to figure out how to deal with that.
So what do you do when you're on an airplane and you want to edit a Google Sheet?
You can. It's offline. It's No, they have offline mode. This is not a live edit, and they will sync it afterwards, but that is, you can have a local offline copy in your browser, basically. You open it in a browser, and then you can interact with it as normal. It does all the math and calculation, unless it's loading something from the web, of course, because you can do
How does the application get loaded on your browser when you're not connected to the internet?
It's kind of like every application these days. When you open the page, it downloads basically the application to your browser, and as long as you don't close the browser window, you can edit. There's a plugin you have to install, right? There is no, you don't have to, but you can. If you really want to have like a proper, sync it to your, there's I think even a way to sync it somehow. I never use it. But you can do that.
Well, in 30 years, we can celebrate the 40th anniversary of Google Sheets.
Yeah, probably. I don't know how old it is.
Probably only be Sheets and Excel and maybe some numbers in 40 years.
That would actually be interesting. Oh,
it'll be one of the only Google products that hasn't actually been killed.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll see about that.
If it's still around.
Patrice, do you have a story for
us? Yes, and since we're talking about Google, I'll drop in another thing, but we're going into the AI road. So I don't know if you guys have heard of Notebook LM from Google. It's basically a AI model that they provide, I think currently for free, but I think there is a paid version if you want some extra features. That, and I'm blanking on the name, is it notebooklm.google? I think it is. If you go there, you can basically upload documents to their Notebook LM. And then you tell it, I don't know, like some article that you want, or like some book that you want to, like a book that's not available, an audiobook, or like some scientific article, or whatever it is, your notes on something. And then you tell it to generate basically a, I don't want to call it a podcast, an audio interview file. It's basically, it generates
audio
two people.
Interview file, yeah.
Yeah, it's two people basically talking about the content of whatever you send it. And it's like an infomercial. It's incredibly chipper American. Hey, this is great and whatever. And like it's super, super fun in some respect. But I mean, for people especially that have maybe dyslexia, or just prefer consuming content in audio form, like I mean, our listener seems to be because they're listening to us. Stuff like that. It is actually quite interesting. And now I think the new version lets you guide the host a little bit more. So before it was kind of one and done. You upload the document, you tell it to generate, and it kind of did its thing. And whether that was correct or not, whether that was what you wanted or not, is kind of, well, you get what you get. Now you can tell it a little bit more to guide maybe the direction, correct mistakes, stuff like that. So it's actually a cool idea. Google has taken the experimental label off, but I would still call it a beta because it's Google, and it's probably going to stay in beta for the next 30 years.
I wonder if people would enjoy that way. Let's say you enjoy taking text articles and just having somebody read it to you. You know, there's a lot of
there's tons of services already like that.
Right. So the question is, would you rather have this style where it looks more like a podcast with multiple hosts and going back and forth? Would that actually be more enjoyable? It'd be interesting to compare the two.
Yeah. I mean, I could see reasons for it. I think Google also added YouTube integration, so that I think it seems to take the YouTube transcripts of videos and then basically generate a discussion of the video, I guess, some sort. It's, as I said, it's an interesting idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating. Now,
I mean, a real podcast is better.
I have... Right. I mean, I have some serious issues with how LLM technology has been evolving.
Yes, me too.
But I mean, I can see where there would be value in something like this. Mm-hmm. And like any other tool, I also see where it could be horribly misused.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, the concept is really interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that LLMs tend to do pretty well is if you give it very specific input to create a model and it only works within that input.
Yeah, very specific data. If you give it facts, you say, these are the facts and please provide them in a good way. It's really good because it's good at mimicking. It's a stochastic parrot. It's very good at mimicking speech. So,
but it's very different than telling it do a podcast based on searching the web about you know, the new advancements in compute power or something stupid like that. I'd be worried getting facts wrong.
I mean, not as if we got facts wrong all the time. So
it's not as much fun as
that. It's definitely not as fun. No, but I mean, I can definitely see this being combined with maybe, like, let's say you have a scientific article or a book or something that you kind of want to generate, or but you want to go a step further and say, okay, sure, there is this initial thing, but I want to know other things that might be related also in this content, like really generating a proper podcast audience, saying, like, instead of just regurgitating this article in a more palatable way, what if it could give you with facts? And that's the part that it has to get right then. But backing up the things and saying, yeah, and like this reference in here is actually from over there, and this is the book and what they discuss in there, whatever. Yeah. It could do that. It would, in theory, be possible to do it. But not with this LLM. It would need another basically reasoning system behind it that says, okay, get the facts, basically.
That's where the LLM is going to fall down when you ask to go outside.
But that's this is where the AI world is going towards, like not having an LLM, because I keep saying bigger isn't always better. But instead having a bunch of smaller models and smaller systems, not just models, smaller different kinds of systems, like combine it with some machine learning and combine it with like some other like reasoning systems and so on to have a more complex system. And the LLM is literally just there to then make it sound believable.
Well, basically the LLM is sort of a prompt writer for the other requests of the other engines.
Maybe that too, yes. But for the most part, it's there to make the end product believable, understandable, and like what you would expect.
Presentable.
Presentable, yeah, that's presentable. A good word for it. Exactly. Right. Like
some people.
I mean, that's literally what some companies are doing. Like they have a ton of smaller models, and then they have kind of a master model that does that parsing and says, okay, you do this, you do that, and then it all gets combined together and then presented at the end. Made presentable, yeah. So I think this is
could you potentially do something like have a panel discussion on quantum computing that's based on a single paper?
Probably,
you have four panelists, you know.
Yeah,
and would
probably.
That actually be interesting?
Yeah.
And useful, you know.
It would be interesting. Would it be valuable? Well, that depends. But it would definitely be interesting just to see what it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. Yeah.
But so what if we took this podcast, ran it through an automatic transcript generator?
Mm-hmm.
and took that and stuffed it into Notebook LLM.
I'll do that.
Anything, sound anything like the original podcast?
No, it will not. 100% not. It will be the as I said, the infomercial chipper version of us.
And it'll say things that like herp derp a lot. I'm
no, I'll literally try that.
We definitely should try it. Next week's episode is going to be a automatically generated Notebook LLM version of this.
No, I'll try it. I'll try it and see what comes podcast. Up. But I mean,
we have two podcasts every week.
I'm skeptical about a lot of the hype around AI, but there is good things in it and there's good ideas. And I mean,
absolutely.
One example for me is the transcripts and the summaries we get for Retro Rewatch Auphonic and from the AI system. I think Whisper AI is behind it. They're really good. Could I do that myself?
Really
yes.
Good.
Could I do that myself? Yes. I could sit down, write down all the text, all the transcript, and then try to summarize it. Would it be better? Maybe. Do I want to do that? Do I have the time for
it?
Do
it manually?
No.
Would it?
No. And I would make a ton of mistakes.
45 minutes to do it manually.
No, probably longer because I'm not that fast.
Yeah. Yeah, and it takes Whisper, you know,
10 minutes
or
so.
5-10
minutes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, does it make mistakes and stupid mistakes right now? Yes.
Sure.
I see some where I'm like, okay, this is completely wrong. Got like
some of those
misunderstood it.
Patrice?
Yeah.
Some of those you probably have to double check and be like, no, actually it's possible Jeff said that.
Some of them, yes. Yes, some of them. Yeah. But sometimes it's very obvious because the entire sentence makes absolutely no sense, but I know what we actually said originally because I see how
because
it got
you were
it.
There.
No, yeah, that and I also see how it got it wrong. Like, it's like, okay, it probably misunderstood this word and then thought it was that word and so on. And then you can construct what it actually was supposed to be.
Well, things like Whisper Notebook LLM certainly give you some insight into immediate value of current generation of AI.
Yeah.
But
and
also
it will
gives
get
you,
better.
Like you said, the idea of a not too distant far step where it could really be powerful.
Yeah. Exactly.
If things work out.
As I said, I send every week and I have to do that now that I just did the processing. Every week I send the summary to Jeff and I'm like, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I'm always surprised.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it takes me 5 minutes to do the summary for these shows. If Whisper can do it for us in 2 minutes.
Yeah, it probably could. It's not
would
free.
It be better,
right? It's definitely not free. Like, I mean, I pay a little bit for it to do that, which is fair. I mean, I get a value out of it. It's not that much. It's like
absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what Whisper can't do for us or any of these LLMs, and it's come up with absolutely ridiculous transitions, like I do, to go from talking about news to saying, "Hey, have you heard of TSO Host?" Because you should have, because they're being incredibly generous and helping us be here for you. And how can they do that? Well, TSO Host, they do web hosting. They help people buy domain names and they do the internet stuff. And what they're doing is taking the things that they do well and giving us those resources so that we can do what we do. And without their help, we wouldn't be able to do what we do because it takes a lot of resources to make this happen. So they're giving us the bandwidth we need so that we can live stream shows every single week. They're giving us the server space we need so that there's a place for all of the recordings to live from the episodes. So you can watch or listen to shows anytime you want. And they're giving us the hosting space we need so there's a place for the BTN website to actually live. So you can go and see what's coming up on the schedule and get to the logs for the live chats for each episode. And when I say that without their help, we wouldn't be here, well, it's because it's true. Without their help, we wouldn't be here. So we really appreciate what TSO Host is doing. And when I say thank you, TSO Host, it's because I really mean it. So thank you, TSO Host. And I would love it if all of you would thank them as well. Just hop out online, go to your favorite social media platform, And thank DSO Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Easy to do, only takes a minute, and it's a great way to let them know that we all appreciate what they're doing. So thanks again, DSO Host. I did mention domain names. Just so you know, if you found a domain name that that you just can't live without, like tomsawesomellm.com.
BritishTravelNetwork.com,
right? You can use their service to get that domain. They offer good pricing, but because you're part of the BTN family, you get a better deal. So just add the discount code BTN20 to your cart at checkout, and you're going to get an extra 20% off. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for doing that for us. And I did mention the whole live chat thing. And Patrice, I say it every week, and it's because it's true and you need to be recognized for what you did. Thank you for taking the time and effort to modernize our live stream and our live chat system. And I know for you, it wasn't difficult to do, but that's because of who you are. For others of us, it would have been a very frustrating and mind-melting process. So thank you for bringing all that together. And do you mind telling people about the awesome live chat system that's part of that?
No, I don't mind at all, because it is super easy and it's super convenient. So if you are listening to this live right now, then you already know where the chat is, because it is on live.britishtechnetwork.com. right next to the live stream. So it's super easy. If you want to join the live stream, you can do that every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time, for this very show, The Big Show. And keep in mind, I don't remember when, but very soon, I will look it up and post it on social media, but very, very soon, we have daylight savings changing again. I think it's in November, beginning of November in the US. So it's probably even next week in Europe. Or this week.
A Europe, it's a weekend.
It's this weekend. So good thing that I mentioned it today. So keep in mind, from next week on, for a week, if your area is doing daylight savings, but it's not doing it with Europe together, then for a week, I think you're out of sync with us, and then you go back to normal. If you're in one of those few places that don't do it, they're super lucky, like Hawaii, for example, or Arizona. Mm-hmm. Then everything will be off by an hour. I don't even know which direction, plus one, minus one. I think it's minus one now, but I've, whatever, just lost. Just look it up. 7 p.m., whatever time, in whatever daylight saving, whatever it is, 7 p.m. UK time. That's the time you look up every week. And I'll post it on social media with the correct times and whatever as a reminder. So I always do that. And Friday, 4 p.m. UK times for the Mac show, if you want to talk about the Apple side of things. And yeah, there's a bunch of stuff we have to talk about this week. There's a ton that's happening. So let's say you are listening to us in recorded form in the future. Maybe you're looking back in time and you're like, what the hell were they thinking? Like AI has just destroyed the world. Or no, they took over and they're our galactic overlords. Hi, I like you. No. It's all fine. You can still get to the links and to everything that we talked about, the cool things, all of that. All you have to do is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there is a very friendly calendar that asks you very, very nicely for a date. It's not an AI. It's literally just it needs a date so it knows what transcript to show to you. Because yes, we do have transcripts from our live chat. And if you do that, you can just pick any date, like for today, for example, it would be October 24th, 2024. And then you literally just pick a date and you will see everything that we talked about in that particular live stream.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. And I want to point out that with the new system, Patrice made everything so slick that even I can sound intelligent when I tell you about the live chat. And that's saying a lot right there.
That's literally saying a lot,
yeah. Hey, so time for the cool things. And Patrice, you have the first cool thing.
Yes.
And I'm super excited about this one.
Good, good.
So please.
So speaking of the future and AIs and maybe they took over everything, Star Trek Lower Decks season 5, so far as we know, final season of Star Trek Lower Decks. Very sad about that. Maybe they will change their mind. I really hope so, but it's not looking good so far. Because, you know, the whole Paramount acquisition, all of that. But it's out as of today. The first 2 episodes are available if you're a Paramount Plus subscriber. I think on the other services I saw, there's only 1 episode out for some reason. I guess that's why they want people on it. I think Paramount Plus at this point is also available mostly across the world. I put in the Just Watch link in the show notes if you just want to see where that would be. Select a different country, you will see where it's streaming for you and if it's even available at all. But yeah, really cool. I only watched the first episode. I'm not going to spoil anything, but if you know, I mean, if you've seen the previous 4 seasons, if not, go watch them. They're really good. And just, they're just a hoot, and the first episode is no different.
So if it's Star Trek Below Decks, is Scotty the star?
No, or it's am Lower I Decks. Myself? No, it's the people who peel the potatoes and so on.
Oh. Yeah. So Mr. Scott is actually too high of a rank to be a lower decker.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's literally the people who clean the floors and peel the potatoes and clean out whatever, clean the rooms, all of that.
Crewmen and ensigns.
Crewmen and ensigns, exactly. Yes, that's real. Yeah, but I always say it's the potato peelers. So,
every time I hear Star Trek Below Decks, I think of that show that people talk about, which is one of those reality shows. Below.
Oh, it could be. It's Lower
Below
Decks.
Deck on like yachts and stuff.
It's Lower Decks, but yeah.
Oh, Lower Deck. Okay.
Yeah, Lower Decks. Yeah, but yeah, I think there might be a Below Deck as well. Yeah. Yeah, so great show. Go watch it. It's out as of today. And then I think the next couple of weeks we'll get more episodes until very sad it's going to end.
Yeah.
So do you find enough content on Paramount to make it worthwhile to subscribe?
This is literally the only one of... Actually, no. This is the only service currently I'm subscribed to because I watch a ton of CBS content. I watch a ton of like Star Trek, of course. So there's a ton for me, reality TV shows, whatever. Like there's so much. I mean, Survivor's on there, and there's a new, I think it's called Summit, which is really funny with people that aren't really good at hiking going up a mountain. I'm like, this is funny. Stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, I don't know what they were thinking, but they're doing it for money, I guess. So, you know, stuff like that. The stuff I've talked about in the Summer of Fun, it's a lot of it is, I think, Paramount Plus.
Awesome. Okay. So you know what? I'm going to be fitting into my schedule where I can between today and tomorrow. And that's some Lower Decks action.
As usual.
Okay, Tom, you are next.
Okay, mine is an Apple TV Plus show or movie called Wolves. This is the George Clooney, Brad Pitt movie that came out a couple weeks ago. And our expectations were kind of low. You know, it is George Clooney and Brad Pitt, and I always like their movies, most of them. And I would say this is not the best movie ever made. Are these?
I would agree.
But it's fun.
Oh, I saw trail for this. This looked quite amusing.
It's kind of funny. You know, it's sort of that dry, understated humor, which I like. It's not in your face. It's a little bit more subtle, a little bit more sophisticated. You get a lot of laughs just from looks, facial expressions, which I like. And it's basically a story about 2 wolves who are people that clean up messes for people. And
criminal messes
usually, and sort of the how they deal with the fact that 2 of them have been assigned to 1 project and they normally work alone. Anyway, if you like George Clooney and Brad Pitt, I think you'll like the movie. If you don't like George Clooney and Brad Pitt, you should not watch this movie, but we enjoyed it.
I like both of them. And I think my expectations for the movie were higher than yours because it's the 2 of them together. And the scenes where they are interacting, I really enjoy.
Yeah.
My problem with the movie is that we don't get enough scenes of them interacting together because there's part of this whole thing is they're on a hunt, like on a chase, and too much of it for me is the chase parts.
Yeah.
And not enough of them interacting.
I agree. I think the way you described it, there's not enough scenes with just the two of them sort of doing their dialogue, facial expression thing, you know, which is pretty entertaining. You're right. There's not enough.
But they do play off each other really well.
Yeah. Plus, if you're a fan of Pulp Fiction and the Wolf, Harvey Keitel's character. George Clooney. But I always enjoyed the Wolf character in Pulp Fiction, and this is sort of an extension of that.
No, for me, the defining one for those two is Ocean's 11.
Oh, yeah.
I like all the Ocean's movies.
Watch those at some point.
Yeah.
You haven't
they
seen
were
them?
Just on sale recently on iTunes.
You haven't seen them? Patrice,
no,
we have
I,
a rewatch
the original
series.
I've seen all of them. Yeah, there's another.
I know, but Jeff hasn't.
We need another podcast for
Rewatchables.
It could be movies also.
That's true.
Movie series.
Plus, there's like five of them, isn't there?
Yeah, reminded me now, and that's going to get downloaded to be watched on the Plane Guide to Vegas,
12,
I think.
10, 11. Oh, yeah, maybe there's
11, 12, and 13.
Okay.
But somehow it feels like more.
There was an Ocean's 8,
I've watched
but it's not
each
the original
one of them
cast,
three times.
To be fair.
There's one without the original cast, isn't there?
Yeah, that's no good.
I didn't bother seeing that one. I
No, it's not good.
Well, you could add the original with Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, the original.
I enjoyed
the original with Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra. Yeah.
That's a great movie.
All right. Ian, it's your turn.
Yeah, I've got something. I started up thinking about things to package in for the Travel Network. And then Jeff reminded me of this I discovered at the weekend, and it's also one for you, Jeff. Your Linux Mac. This is a really good Office Suite replacement. The looks like Microsoft Office. The behaves like Microsoft Office.
Yeah.
It's called Only Office.
Yeah.
I installed it on mine the other day because I needed to edit some Word documents, and I didn't like LibreOffice.
Yeah.
And it was perfect.
It's the closest to real office,
You like this better than Libra?
Yes. Did everything it needed to, and looked like the office I'm familiar with. So I didn't. The muscle memory was there. I could just get on and do
Looks like the office.
Wherever
from
they move that button
the
to, 90s. What's that for? It's fine. It works, but for the simple bits of editing I needed the weekend, it was perfection. So keeps the little the Linux Air thing working nicely.
Yeah,
that's cool. I did not know about this one.
It's in the Mint store as well, so you can just look for it on the Mint store.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's right there. Go for only Office is in the Mint store.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they're good.
And I highly recommend. I was pleasantly surprised about how good it was.
I think there is a commercial version if you want to.
There is a commercial version.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of LibreOffice, so I'll nuke that from my Mint book and install this instead.
Yeah, I've got it on my as you got your Mint book, and I've got my Linux Air.
Is it
for those
free
of
you
that,
do you
that don't know
it?
What I'm talking about, I took a MacBook Air that's like 11 years old, wiped it, and installed Mint Linux on it, and it runs great.
You only talked about it on one of the previous big shows, so just saying.
We did a whole thing that the two of us that have both done similar thing with an out of support MacBook and turned it into a useful working computer again.
Yeah.
So now it's my
MacBook. The crossover episode.
Yes. Yes.
It's the opposite world episode. Yeah.
That's right. It was opposite world week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So Only Office.
Very cool. Good pick.
Not only fans, that's a different thing.
Yeah,
don't go looking for that. That's
slightly,
a different thing.
Slightly, you could probably find someone on OnlyFans who can like woo you with Excel.
Only maybe. Office, OnlyFans for Office.
You know,
there's a business idea.
There's a fetish for everyone. So yes. Someone out there is is got a really fetish. Into Microsoft Office that their Excel porn, I guess.
Excel porn. Oh,
I really didn't need to have those words strung together the way I just did. I apologize.
Sounds like a joke.
Talk dollar A five to me.
All right, I'm going to talk about my cool thing now and hopefully redeem myself. All right, so I've talked about as my cool thing a while ago was the Netflix Three Body Problem series, which I thought was really well done, and it's based on novels from one of the novels from a Chinese author. And it was revolutionary because there's the whole thing with at least in the United States, you don't see a lot of Chinese fiction and certainly not science fiction. And so anyhow, there you go. They turned it into a Netflix series.
Very cool.
And it was done well. But China did their own version of the series from the books, and theirs is a lot more in depth. So season one is 30 episodes long, so they can cover a lot more of what's in the books,
and 30 full episodes, not like 20 minute episodes. It's like 43 minutes,
right? Yes. And now from what I can tell, I've only watched a couple episodes so far. I think that Three Body on Amazon Prime is much truer to the actual books because they haven't changed the characters. Like in the Netflix version, the nanotechnology scientist, that's a woman. In Three Body, that and in the books, that's a man. So wow, that sentence just kind of completely fell apart on me. So let me just start with a new sentence and pretend like I've recovered. Three Body takes place in China, not in the United States. And it's also interesting to see the interaction of the characters within that culture, which is something that we typically don't get in TV shows or movies.
Yes.
Anyhow, it's really well done. Like the opening sequence of episode one, it starts and I'm just watching this whole sequence play out. And I'm like, I don't even know what's going to happen, but I feel hooked already. And anyhow, I'm really enjoying it. Three Body on Amazon Prime, 30 episodes, and like Patrice said, each episode is full length, so it's like 43 minutes long, and it is subtitled, which is great because that means that you're getting the performance of the actual actors, and not a voice performance of someone else. And which is not to denigrate voiceover actors, but there are times when having the actual actor and subtitles gives you a much more complete experience.
I agree with that.
So there you go. Three Body Problem, Amazon Prime.
I like the US version of Three Body. And unfortunately, we just canceled our Prime about 3 months ago.
Just go to a friend's house.
Yes.
That's true. I'll go to my brother's house. He has every service.
See?
There you go.
Problem solved. Watch it with him. Make it a family thing.
There you go.
For the next 30 hours?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Like once a week, get together and do dinner and watch an episode or two.
Yeah. That's a good idea. It's not as if you have anything else to do, right? So,
The basic story.
You're retired.
Is
you've
story.
Got time.
Exactly. No, that's the secret. Most people that are retired have no time.
That's true. My parents seem to be busy all the time.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. All right. So, with that, let's call it a show and wrap this thing up. So, first, to the three of you, thank you. You rock. You put a smile on my face every single week, and I am so glad we do this. Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on the open social media platform Mastodon. I am TomF@sfba.social. And Teresa, I think we should have a contest for next week. I'm going to try the built-in audio to text transcription that's in Office Word.
Oh, wow. Like it.
And if you run it through Whisper, I'll run it through Word. I'm pretty we'll sure do. I know who's going to win.
Okay, we'll do.
Awesome.
Hurry, Word.
Awesome. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays and the Mac Show on Fridays. So, as I said, tomorrow, 4 p.m. UK time, we got stuff to talk about. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the project, literally everything you can find on my website. There's links to everything. That's just what I wanted to say. ThePatrice.com, that's where you can find that. And, where's my mug here? Retro Rewatch, the show we've mentioned before in this show and many other shows, is a show that Jeff and I record, where we rewatch interesting, cool retro shows. So far, we've done Stargate SG-1. We're in season one, or at least what we've published is season one, actually passed that a little bit. And we just published episode 14, season one, episode 14, Hathor. And I think the next episode, no, actually, is that the next one that we published? I don't even know. We published Hathor, and whatever episode 15 is, we'll publish tomorrow. I haven't even checked.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
And Retro Rewatch is super fun to do.
It is.
So thank you for goading me into watching the show, Patrice.
You're very welcome.
Because I am enjoying it.
That's good. You're very welcome. Yep.
Awesome. All right. And Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me in the usual places, LinkedIn. My name's Ian Grant. I work for Veeam. And here on the Big Show every Thursday, and not next week. I think I'm doing something else. And then I'll be back again the week after. And I'm in the Slack room, the BTN Slack room. If you find me there, Tio Boa, turn it off and back on again.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be me.
Awesome. Awesome. And then for me, Jay Gamut on the various social medias, and I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram. And then for shows, Tuesday evenings, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursday evenings, Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch together.
Mm.
I think I got all the shows.
Yeah, by the way, I looked it up. Episode 14 of our show is episode 15 of Stargate SG-1, which is Singularity, which is a great episode. And it's the mid-season cliffhanger, I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I know, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. Well, it used to be.
It used to be, yep. Yeah. Now we have shorter seasons, so they just do end of season cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So with all of that, thank you again to the three of you for just being so wonderfully awesome. I am so glad we're all friends. And all of you that are watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here and being part of this. I'm so glad all of you are here. Everyone that watches, listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of this as well. All of you, you rock. Speaking of people who rock, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And Tio Sahos, thank you for being here and supporting us. Go give them some online love, everyone. And with that, it's now really time to wrap up. So everyone, join us tomorrow, Friday, for the Mac Show. And then don't forget to come back next week for the big show on Thursday again. And all of you have an awesome weekend.